Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman, and welcome to another episode of Espresso Tech Sips. And the point of the sip is 10 to 15 minutes, I kind of pick a slide from one of my slide decks, kind of take one slide at a time, and just focus on that slide from one of my previous presentations or from one of my training classes. But today, actually, I'm looking ahead to an upcoming presentation, and I want to give you a sneak peek to it. So that's the advantage of following the podcast. You get some insight even before I present some of my new material. But this is in regards to team alignment. It's really kind of anchored off of a saying that I heard at one of my client sites, and I've used it ever since. This is probably 8-9 years ago, but there was a group of teams that they weren't in agreement. And very clearly, one of the managers said, after we talk this through and everyone gets their input and their insight, at the end, there was a decision that had to be made. And once it was made, what that manager said is, now at this point, you don't have to agree, but you have to align. And that's very powerful. You don't have to agree, but you do have to align. And that's kind of the subtle nuance of teaming, being a team, the art of being a team, is that, yes, you have your individual insight and perspective and experience and even your individual prejudice that is important that everyone feel like they have a voice and that voice is heard. But at the same time, there's a point in time as a team member, you have to recognize when, yes, I've said my piece, I've been heard, I've been acknowledged, but now there is a decision, and that decision I have to align and support. And that's something that you individually have to come to terms with. It shouldn't be something that the facilitator has some magic saying that all of a sudden everyone now feels convinced that they completely agree with the final decision. You don't have to agree with the decision. That's the key here. But you, just as much as people have heard what you've had to say, you also have been open and have received everyone else's point of view and understand that collectively that the decision somehow has to take the information that we know at this moment and we have to move forward. And sometimes the information we know at this moment is flawed, so we also have to accept that the way we move forward may be flawed. And that's part of the alignment. I understand that it may not be the perfect answer. I understand that we may not have all the information, but I also understand and recognize that we can't get paralyzed. We can't settle for analysis paralysis, we used to call it. And so as part of that team member, accepting like everyone else, we need to make a move. And there is likely an identified decision maker. And depending on what the topic is, it should be clear up front who that decision maker is going to be. Is it a manager? Is it the product manager? Is it the engineering manager? Is it the architect? Is it the project manager? Or is it the executive sponsor? Someone has to make a decision. And the one thing to appreciate is that that person making that decision, it doesn't mean that it's easy, and it doesn't even mean that it's fun or that it's natural. They may be receiving a plethora of different information, compelling information, valid information, but at the same time, they've got to take that, synthesize that in whatever time that they're given, and make what sometimes is a hard decision. And one thing, if you've ever been in that position where you were the decision maker and had to make a hard decision, it's hard for a reason. It can be draining. It can be emotional. But you know that you're on point. People are counting on you to make some decision. And with that decision, and I'm not just going to say a decision whether it's right or wrong, every decision comes with risk. So that decision, when we say a decision is wrong, it just means that it might have more risk than a decision over here that might have less risk. So that's one thing that I think to clarify in our language, in our perception of what's right and wrong, or what's true or not true, what's reality or not reality. Let's agree just on the point that a decision, instead of labeling it right or wrong, a decision may be high risk, medium risk, and maybe low risk. Now, the reality, those of us that are a part of this team, part of this organization, when those hard decisions are made and someone makes a decision that leans toward the high risk, it may be purely and totally intentional. It doesn't mean that they're crazy or they're not listening or they don't know what they're doing. It's great to, from time to time, question leadership and management and executives and the owners of the various companies that we work for. It happens. But also realize that, especially, and I know the IT world, you know, I've got 30 years of experience and of watching the highs and lows of many companies, the coming and goings, the rise and fall of companies. And the one observation that I'm very keen on is that a lot of these companies, when they start up, and that's something that I am attracted to, startup companies, small companies. Someone has this bright idea, this vision. I myself started my company on a vision. And you sell that vision to the people that become a part of your organization. Well, know that the fact that it's a vision, it means it's not a reality. So people who start companies or are part of companies, they live on that edge where they take a little bit of information and they're willing to take the big risk. Well, that mindset and approach continues through the life cycle of that company, as long as it is growing and continuing to try to expand or take on more territory, to take on or to bring about something innovative, you've got to be someone that leans into risk. Now, the key is the more and more people you bring into the team and the more mature the organization gets, you will inadvertently bring in people who are risk averse. But what those people that come into an organization, it's important for you to have what we call some of that emotional intelligence about where do you fall on the spectrum of risk. Are you a person that's risk averse, that you like kind of the safe path, the predictable path? Then you probably are going to be uncomfortable quite a bit in an organization where the leaders are risk seekers. They're entrepreneurs. They're innovators. They're willing to put things on the line. This is a company that's growing and thriving and taking on new territory. And so sometimes I see where the teams, especially, and trust, I get both perspectives. The team members are thinking, okay, here's leadership and management, that they're willing to take these risks, but it's the team that has to oftentimes do the hard work to mitigate those risks. And so after a while, you get hit with mitigating those risks, trying to push something out. It's half-baked. It's not fully thought out, or we haven't taken into consideration anything, but we push, 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 and we're going to go for it. We're going to push it out, and we'll just see what happens kind of mentality. Teams over time get beat up and become risk-averse. And so it's so important that acknowledgement of that and revisiting that. And here is one of my very, very important tips that I want teams to consider, and especially agile teams, is that when we're having lively debate and when we might have very diverse points of view, and yet the decision is still to move forward, one way to acknowledge those concerns is to acknowledge them as risk. In the tradition of project management, we used to carry a risk register. Today, that risk register, tools like Jira accommodate a risk journal where you kind of capture as a journal. The concerns are risk. Initially, maybe at the epic level, maybe at the feature level. And then even tagging individual stories with certain risks that have been identified. That's a way to get people comfortable with aligning, with getting behind something. If they know that their concerns are still considered valid, and valid to the point that we're even going to notate them so that we have an awareness going into this, and that going into this, if we know there's a risk, we'll do what we can to mitigate that risk. And sometimes mitigating means, you know, approaching it head on. Sometimes it means just letting it play out and see what happens. Because with any risk, there's the possibility that it doesn't come to full fruition, and therefore it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. So to avoid an overreaction to everything that could potentially happen, because not everything that can potentially happen, which that's why it's a risk, will happen. And if it does even happen, that which is the probability, that the impact is going to be as bad as we thought. And that's one of the things those people who call out risk, and I know sometimes I've seen very passionate pleas, very emotional. You also have to accept that that risk is still just speculating the potential. Doesn't mean that that risk is going to come to fruition. So sometimes notating it and watching it is the best course of action. Otherwise, you won't, as an organization, as a team, you won't continue to grow and thrive. You're going to stunt your growth if you are completely risk averse. You completely avoid it. You've got to know what your level of tolerance is, and talk about it, and even do some load balancing where there's times to take risk and there's times to maybe avoid the risk if possible, or mitigate the risk, lessen the risk. So that's just one little nugget around team alignment and use these as a catalyst for a conversation starter in one of your next retrospectives. Even if the conversation is about what do we feel we fall on the risk spectrum? Should we take a little bit more or a little bit less? Should we not take a hard line and be purist when it comes to whether or not everything is known about our requirements? Sometimes there will be some unknowns and we need to accept it. That's an example where a team addressing the fact that your requirements are not going to be perfect. If you wait for them to be perfect, my saying is perfection is the enemy of agile. You wait for those perfect, then so much time is going to elapse that I promise you, your competition will already have addressed that issue and moved on. So take that into consideration. Do a little self-evaluation and make sure when you're having that next conversation and where it feels like the team's not aligned, maybe pull everyone back and review. Is there misalignment because we are trying to balance between those who are being purist or perfectionist with those who want to go to the extreme, to the point where it's reckless disregard? And if we all bring our position in, our mindset, and adjust how we look at risk, then how different with that conversation and that alignment? How much faster, quicker will we get to alignment? All right. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And we'll talk more on this topic. I'd love to see your comments. Please like, follow us. Please stay in touch. And you can find me on LinkedIn at Jacqueline007 or look under my email address, jsandersceo@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.